Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shy and Destin. We are here today because we have a game that's coming up. I know some of you all are disinterested and probably aren't following the season as closely as you were at the start of the season. Can't say that I blame you, but we do have a show. We do have a game and we have to discuss it, you know? So like I always start off every show, Destin, how are you doing, my guy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We didn't talk about it a lot last time, but I mean, on a scheduling aspect, it's pretty dope that the Colts are just going to be hanging out in New York during the New Year weekend.
Did you enter Jim Irsay's contest? I definitely
of course.
Did.
I think everyone should have, man. I mean, that I told you in the last episode, you guys should enter. And the reason being is this man, he's flying people out on his private jet.
This is crazy.
He's sending what he sends to the notable free agents.
I am a notable free agent, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, I definitely I want to be in. I enter for that out. Alone. He could just take me from Indiana to Ohio in that thing, and I'll be happy. Let alone New York.
Look at Destin trying to get flew out like one of the
of course
internet baddies.
I bet, can you imagine what he serves in that thing? I bet he'd be serving those shrimp cocktails from St. Elmo's. And you're not an indie guy, so you probably don't know what I'm talking about.
I heard that's their famous thing.
Though. Yeah,
I've heard they served it in a press box. One of these
recently. Yeah, it was a big deal within the media. I could just envision. He has those things getting served on that thing. I know it's not Air Force One, but that's just all I want to call it. Like I just want to.
Oh yeah, I understand why. You know, the jet, the whole jet thing. Yeah, definitely. But man, okay, enough about Destin getting flew out to New Year's. Although I'll be jealous and I'll be hating on the side if Destin told me he won and got into the contest and I didn't get in. But we have things to discuss, man. We have questions to answer from the good people. The people definitely got some things that they want to talk about. And I think we should start off with a pending free agent question that the new King of Coast has. Shout out to the new King of Coast, my dog. He sent in a list, first of all. I'm sure you have the list because I sent it to you. He said, here's a list of the Colts pending free agents. I guess Speed and Jackson is not on the list, but there are two people that's impending free agents as well. He said, out of all the pending free agents, list your top three keepers and the most you would be willing to give each per year.
Man, the amount I'd give him a year.
That's tough. You want me to go first? I kind of looked at it already.
That's a fast one. I mean, I can go. I mean, the top three for me, I would say
Matt Pryor for sure.
Yeah, no, he didn't make the cut. Honorable mention, maybe?
Ben Banigo?
Not as honorable. I think the three were pretty simple for me. I would go Bobby Okereke. I'd go EJ Speed as well, both linebackers, but I just think both. I think EJ Speed, the reason he's going to be in my top three is because I feel like we've been talking about how well he would play if he got the chance to get those reps and those starter reps. He still hasn't gotten put into that world, so that price tag has not gone up to that level yet. So I think you sign him probably to a similar deal that you can get, that you just got Zaire on, probably a little less than what you just gave Zaire even. And then you have him locked up 3 to 4 years with the chance to jump into that play. I'm going to say Bobby. I think there's a lot of questions with the Shaq Leonard stuff. I've seen that he was liking some stuff on Twitter like he does. I would never say to look into those kind of things. He does that a lot for like motivational type things more so than him saying he wants to be traded, obviously.
Absolutely.
But what I would say is, I think there's enough of a question mark to where you don't let Bobby just walk for free. Even if it's a franchise tag and trade situation, I think Bobby, you have to get him at least in the building to the point where you have options. Don't let him leave for free. And I think that's the most notable free agent. So you got to bring that guy back. The third one is a tougher one. So we got Bobby, we got EJ. The last one's going to be between Yannick and Paris. I'm going to go Yannick is more important than Paris. So I'm going to put Yannick at three. I wouldn't pay him anything like super crazy just because I still think he's not that number one pass rusher you need, but you don't get those overnight. We've seen that for an experience. But he is most likely still going to end the year above 10 sacks, which is a stat number that we just haven't seen in Indy for a very long time. Whether or not there has been some coverage sacks in that element, he's going to get there. So that's notable. He wants to be here. So I think that is who I would put there. Paris and him were right there back and back. And what I guess what I would pay him, I'm gonna say like 13 is like the most I would offer Yannick right now. Bobby, I'd go the franchise tag number, maybe a little more depending on what that would be or at. And then EJ, I would say just a little bit less than Zaire. And if we had to get to that same deal we gave Zaire, I don't think that's breaking the bank too much.
Yeah, my list is really similar to yours. I probably would go, if I had to rank them, I guess Bobby would be first for me. And since I'm paying, I would do the same. I would tag Bobby, by the way. And since I'm paying Bobby, I'm not gonna pay EJ. As much as I love him, I just can't have paying four linebackers. You know, with Zaire getting this contract, Shaq getting this contract, Bobby, I just can't afford to devote those kind of resources to that one position room. So I would go Yannick. I think I would give Yannick 12. 12 was the number I had in mind. When you said 13, I probably would be willing to go to 13 if we was negotiating. And Paris would be my third. Paris would be my third for sure. More like a 1 year prove it deal. I think 7, 8 million for Paris, I think it's would be fine for him. I wouldn't be upset at that at all.
But
Considering what
you
his
don't let
production.
signing him prevent you from drafting a slot guy as well, right?
No, and actually, I as much as I like Paris, and I think his skill set translate to being a slot guy, he just haven't shown me, you know, the kind of elite slot ability that I'm looking for in a more dynamic offense. You know, we laughed at Christian Kirk for getting paid what he got paid, but he's one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. And this year, he's definitely shown it. So, you know, I don't expect Paris to be as good as Christian Kirk. I do expect a little more production out of him. I know some of that is on the quarterback, and with a better quarterback, a better situation, we should be able to see him put up better numbers. And that's what I'm banking on with this 1 year prove it deal. We know the injury history. It looks like he's past that. So hopefully, you know, we see a different side of Paris on that 1 year deal, a more productive one, I should say, because he's shown the all the elements to being great. We just need him to go out there and prove it. So, yeah, I think that's the direction I would go in.
This next question's coming from a new asker, I believe, Quentin Callenberger at QKBRGR at QKBRGR.
Okay, first initial, last initial. BRGR must be for burger, obviously.
That's what my assumption was as well.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for your at name, not putting your whole first name, last name. I know we give a standard grading for that. You shortened you made it short, you know, shortened it up, which is smart because nobody wanna type all of that. So, I'm cool with that. I'm cool. I give you six.
So 6.5 is what the first name, last name number for me is. QKBRGR just looks, it's not very aesthetically pleasing.
That's why I went six.
So I'm going to drop it a full point to 5.5. I see why it's there. Like you said, QK initials, BRGR for the burger at the end of the last name. I get it. I just can't get over how it looks. So 5.5, but I've seen some people have taken things we've said and like changed their entire app for it. I'm not gonna say that I don't want you guys to respect our opinion and change them, because I'm just giving you my honest opinion. When I see your at, I'm just giving it to you. But don't take anything we say personally. That's all I'm saying. Like, if I hate your at, it's nothing personal, but you should change it. I agree.
It's 1000% personal, by the way.
And his question, what vet slash vets would you trade away to try and acquire more picks?
I figure we go back and forth on this one. I'll start off with Mo Alie-Cox. Just think what he's given the tight end room. You can get that other places. We discussed in the past, he's not an elite blocker. The athleticism is slowly dwindling to me. And I just think what he give you athletically is Jelani can give you that plus more. So I don't think you'll be missing out on anything. Maybe somebody gave you a late day three pick for him. Who knows? I think, but that's something the Colts could probably explore, and you can move that contract off the books as well.
Man, this may have been a quicker question to say which vets would we not trade? Because I bet
I
we
was
could
about
say a
to say
lot.
that.
But the next one that I think is obvious is Ryan Kelly. I think Ryan Kelly has shown enough of a drop off at his price tag, and with Danny Pinter looking more than serviceable at the center position, younger contract. I mean, less of a contract, and then you look across the board at just what you're paying others. I think Ryan Kelly is another one.
And I do want to hit on this real quick because it ties in. So kind of combining the question, because we got a question from Anthony Childress. The at name is Naptown underscore H Town. And his question was, I like that. I like that Naptown H Town thing. I don't think we ever rated Ant's at name. So I'm
I
going
think
to.
we've had Anthony ask questions before.
I know I talked to him a lot on Twitter, but I don't remember if we rated the at
We
name
can
per se.
rate it just in case. We had someone recently tell us we didn't rate it, and we like we'd never had before or something. So we can do it just in case, but I swear he's asked one.
I'm gonna give N a seven. I like Naptown, H Town. Got the underscore in the middle. Almost made me drop it a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. I don't like looking at underscores. But I understand why he did it. You had to create some kind of separation between the two. I dig it.
So Naptown, H-Town, I'm guessing is Houston. Clicked on his bio. See, that's where he's currently residing. I like it. I like showing respect to both places. I'm gonna go 6.5 still. The underscore keeps me from going to a 7.5. Fun fact, my PlayStation handle when I was in college, because I'm from Indiana. I went to college in Oklahoma. My PlayStation handle for a long time was Hoosier, the number 2 Sooner. So Hoosier to Sooner.
Oh, so
So
this has a little
I say I always
sympathy
respect.
thing. You got a soft spot for
Yeah,
this.
I gotta respect the showing off two places thing. So, but I'm gonna go with the six.
Okay, yeah, and the only reason I interrupted the prior question to talk about this one because his question was directly related to what you were saying. His question was, regardless as to who is the GM next year, I see the Colts moving on from Ryan Kelly. What do y'all think? So that's the only reason I was trying to tie those two
Oh,
in.
you're good. I think what. Like Anthony's saying, I think no matter who's in charge, that's the right call. Just because of the price tag there, and I think name value means a lot across the league, even when people don't think it does. I think you can get off the contract. You may not get a lot back because of that contract and how he played this year, but I could see someone giving you a fifth type deal. Maybe it's like a fifth and Ryan Kelly and a seventh type thing. But even that, you get off the contract, you let Danny Pinter start. If Danny Pinter doesn't do well at the center, then you know you're having to draft a center. But I think you have to find a way to be getting better value out of your dollar there at the offensive line, because if you're going to be the highest paid unit in the league, you have to produce, and you haven't. So you have to make sure you're not the highest paid unit in the league next year, in my opinion.
I think that's the easiest when you open up the books and you just stare at the contracts and the players' contributions the past couple of years. The name Ryan Kelly rings bells. People know him across the league, Pro Bowl history. You know that name recognition, like Destin spoke about, that means a lot. You know, people when people recognize the name, We see it all the time when average players have that big name. They're able to make Pro Bowls. They're able to do different things that the people that's really on the ground that people don't know that's playing well. People like Grover Stewart, who doesn't have the name recognition and is playing lights out. You know, he don't even get considered for things like the Pro Bowl. But Ryan Kelly, name value, the contract that he's currently on, it just makes way too much sense not to pull that lever, especially with the ascension of Pinter at center. Not guard, people, don't kill us. With Pinter at center, you know, it just makes too much sense as an easy lever to pull. And that's what a lot of new GMs are looking for, you know, as soon as they come in. Well, who can we just easily get rid of? Won't be a inconvenience, won't cause too much turmoil. And I think that's just a lever that they could pull.
Now, I think the other thing to say is those two names might be the most sensible, but if there was a new GM in town, I would tell you that the amount of players that would use the word safe to describe them would be minimal. Like, count them on one hand, minimal.
I'm thinking in my head right now as you're saying that, and I probably got like completely safe. Maybe four.
I feel like Michael Pittman would be pretty close to safe just because it's hard to trade those receivers. We just saw a GM get completely fired because instead of paying his top receiver, he traded him. And you're not going to get AJ Brown compensation for Michael Pittman, who I think, given the right quarterback, can ascend to a level that we aren't seeing him right now. He has the talent. But I think Michael Pittman would probably be the most safe player off of positional value and just how much receivers cost. Otherwise, right now, I would say Quentin Nelson would be a hard one to trade because you're probably not going to get the value for him because of what that contract looks like right now. And to make it make sense to move off of a player like that, who I believe, if he has guys around him, is still going to be elite. I really do.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial Series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial Series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies, like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series, Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
And I'll be honest with you, after those two.
Did you say Quiddy?
Oh, Quiddy Pay for sure. Quiddy Pay for sure is another one. Young pass rusher who has battled injuries a little bit, but has really ascended back this year since coming back from injury. So that'd be three right there. I would have a hard time putting safe on anyone else. Jonathan Taylor is great when healthy, great running back, great human, but positional value wise, I don't know how you can ever say a running back is completely safe, especially if a new regime were to come in.
And that's why it's so different because, you know, when we prioritize people around the league, the positional value is just so low on them. You know, as great of players as they are at the positions that they're at, you know, Darius Leonard, well, Shaq Leonard, I'm sorry, is one of the best linebackers in the league, but the positional value is just not there. Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the league. The positional value is just not there. You know, same could be said for Quentin Nelson. It's tough, man. It's tough. And you may get a GM that really wants to do a hard reset. I know a lot of people feel, a lot of people, trust me, I've seen my mentions. A lot of people feel like this team don't need that and they can compete with a simple tinkering of the offensive line and a quarterback. Maybe true. But there's a lot of GMs, of people around the league that just doesn't agree with the way this team is built foundationally. And they may decide to come in here and tear it down. I guess that'll be up to Jim Irsay to do in a vetting process to see, you know, what GM does believe in, what's the foundation is here, and can take this roster and build up on it. But it's a lot of people that may just come in here and wipe the slate, man. And with that being said, I don't think there's a lot of people on this roster that's just safe.
Would we want someone coming in with the same value on – I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, I love the interior defensive end guys, line guys here. Grover, Buck, both super talented guys. The problem is, like, eventually you're just saying all these positions. The deepest positions on this Colts roster are positions across the league, like you're saying, that just don't have that same value. Interior defensive line, the Colts have paid two guys pretty solid contracts now in the interior. You don't see many winning teams doing that. They put more money in the edge. The Colts have not done that. And then you look at the situation on the offensive line, the most money, the highest paid player on the Colts offensive line is at guard. Most teams across the league go cheap at guard and put their money at tackles and center. So just about everything but the guard. And then when you go to linebacker situations, most teams are not putting elite money in the off-ball linebacker. Again, the money on defense usually is going there to the edge rushers and corners. Like that's where money is being spent. So it's just very different than what winning football teams are doing. And the league sees teams do things different ways all the time. It can't happen. So it's not saying you cannot win unless you do the exact formula that's in place. But we have learned certain things don't work. So I don't know if I don't know if I'd want to bring somebody in who looks at the roster and says, oh yeah, I think we're close, because we've been down that road. We've heard that press conference and I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah. I'm checked out on that. Next question is from my guy, C-Lou at Drop Balls Pod. I don't know if we've done C-Lou's at, we can do it again real quick. I know he's the host of the Drop Balls podcast, so that's where the name comes from. I talk to C-Lou a lot on Twitter, so his at name is not familiar with me. He does great work over there, too. Y'all go check that out if y'all get a chance. Did you have a rate for the at name?
So, I mean, it's his podcast, so at Dropped Balls Pod. So I'm going to treat it pretty similar to like a first name, last name. You got your show's name with the pod at the end, so 6.5. I respect it. I also have interacted a lot with C-Lou recently. I really appreciate the healthy debating that he brings to my timeline at times, because I'm all for people disagreeing with me. I just want to have healthy conversation about it. Some people on Twitter,
y'all disagree a lot?
Not a lot. Just here recently, okay. we just had some different like back and forth, but I thought they were a very healthy back and forth. And I like debating sports. It's part of the reason I do this. It's part of the reason I do a lot of different content-based things. So I appreciate healthy debating. So I appreciate him bringing that to my timeline here and there.
Yeah, Destin is for sure the debater of our dynamic duo. So whenever you guys pick arguments with me, I send Destin. Like
Rashad puts you on mute. If you want to start an argument with Rashad, he will mute the conversation. It's not worth it for him. If you start an argument with me, I will then I will close out all of my Safari tabs. I will start up only opening tabs that are based on this argument.
To support his argument.
And I'll just start going in. Like I love debating, but it's not Rashad's thing. Rashad has muted me before.
I was about to say, Destin got muted one time. Me and Destin, I don't even remember what the debate was.
Yeah, you
I knew
do.
It was something funny.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, it was somebody being a top. I honestly can't remember
It was about Brandon Cooks and Amari Cooper.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was about Brandon Cooks. The debate in Centric was about Brandon Cooks. The last thing that put it over the top was comparing Amari Cooper and Brandon Cooks, though.
That's what sent it over the top. You're right. It did just start out on Brandon Cooks thing, and I think at the base of it, we was talking about Brandon Cooks. What we agreed at was Brandon Cooks was the best receiver in the AFC South prior to this season. I think that's changed, but you know, Brandon Cooks went through a whole bunch of BS with the Texans this year. That whole whirlwind of things at the trade deadline just kind of sent things south for them. But let me get to my dog C. Lou question. He said, I'm not sure if y'all have been asked this or not, but if the season ended tomorrow and the Colts are fifth in the draft order, who would you want Ballard to get at QB? Also, would you be okay with going QB later, which day two in parentheses, and drafting offensive lineman early? I asked him to go a little bit deeper to give kind of a caveat so we can know exactly who's off the board. He said, let's just say Bryce and Stroud are both gone. The Texans and the Seahawks swooped them up.
This will be a pretty quick one for me. The QB3 for me in this class is Anthony Richardson. Some people would say 5's too high for him. I just don't believe, because of positional value, I just don't believe there's a such thing as too high. Like, I don't care if the Colts were at 3 and Stroud and Young were gone. If you in your head believe the guy at 3, whoever you have is at quarterback 3. I know there's a big debate right now all between the top 4. I mean, I've seen the top 4 debated in every way where all of them have been quarterback 1 for somebody. I've seen each of them at quarterback 4 on other people's lists. I think it's a good sign that this class is going to be better than what we've seen in recent years, is because those top 4 are just all so close as prospects in certain ways. So I'd go Anthony Richardson at 5 personally there. Now, would I be willing to go quarterback later, day 2, and draft O-line early? I would not be opposed to drafting O-line early, but I'm not taking a quarterback at all then, if that's what's happening, unless you're drafting a positional value offensive line, edge rusher in the top 5, and you trade back into the first round for a quarterback. I have said this multiple times, and I'll keep saying it. I am out on taking a quarterback outside of round 1 for the foreseeable future with this Colts team, because you have to show that you're willing to take the step and take the swing, essentially. So if for some reason you miss out on guys you believe are the franchise type guys and you can't get them this year, then I just want to be bad again next year.
Yeah, I see a lot of people. I see a lot of people talking about perhaps, you know, trading back and getting more picks and then taking a guy like Anthony Richardson, who may go late first round, which I think, by the way, once this draft process is done, his stock is going to shoot way up. He won't be available late first round.
15 is his floor. I'm confident to say that right now. And the cycle hasn't even hit. Knock on wood, bearing injuries that make people question things due to his athleticism. So an injury like that could affect it, obviously, but knock on wood, that can't happen. 15's his floor. The amount of special upside that that kid has, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be shocked if he was the first quarterback to be called. I don't think it's going to happen just because I think there are other guys that are safer. Yeah. But I think the upside is there to where many teams will fall in love with him, and I would not be shocked at all if he hear his name anywhere from quarterback 1 to quarterback 4.
Yeah, I can see it, man. I can see it. I honestly can't see it. It's as crazy as it sounds right now, but I said that a month ago. I said, this draft process, Anthony Richardson is going to be the biggest riser at quarterback. I mean, he just has all the things that you're going to drool over in those type of settings, man. He's going to be able to make all of those wild throws. He's going to test freakishly athletically. He's just one of those guys. He has the prototypical size that you want in an NFL quarterback. He's young. It's just a lot to like about the kid.
And that Florida team sucked. There's not even a better way to say it.
I was talking about that too. Yeah, you're right about that.
That Florida team got stomped by Oregon State in that bowl game recently when Anthony Richardson didn't play. And the reason being that of the top 4 guys, and this is going to be debated too, and I'm sure a lot of the Will Levis crowd is going to shoot me up for this, but Anthony Richardson was in the worst roster wise among the top 4. That Florida team's awful. I understand Kentucky had a bad offensive line, but Kentucky competed in the SEC in a way Florida couldn't. because Florida's offense beyond Richardson was awful. The defense was awful. I mean, you could make arguments that the coaching in Florida is questionable.
They had entire new staff. Like
Anthony Richardson was just not in a good spot. He just really wasn't. And you erase that from him, let him go through the draft process as just another player. He's going to be fun, man. He's going to be fun.
He is going to be fun. So I would probably take Anthony Richardson as well, though, just to answer your question, Lou. And it's because as far as the offensive line, I don't think this offensive line needs a top 10 pick to be fixed anyway. That's not where I'm at with it. I think there's plenty of quality guys that you can double back and get early in the second round that probably has first round grades on them or first round talent. So I wouldn't be worried about that. I'm not worried about reaching on a quarterback. I don't even believe there is a such thing as reaching on a quarterback, you know, with how important quarterback is today.
As long as you believe in him. Have you ever watched Polar Express? I think some of our fan base needs the believe ticket. We need to punch that up for them. We need to punch up a believe Colts ticket for a bunch of these fans so they can get on the board for some of these quarterbacks. But next question is from Ruben at @_Rubo, multiple time question asker for us. Y'all believe it's time for Jim Irsay to be relieved as owner? Interesting question. And let his daughters take over.
Can you be relieved as owner?
I think it would take something drastic. I mean, that was my first thought when I read it. Yeah. Relieved is a drastic word. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Dan Snyder in Washington's a pretty scum human being, and he's selling that thing for billions of dollars. Like it's not like I don't ever like to get into these conversations because, you know, it's money, but people always act as if like Dan Snyder is getting what's coming to him because he's going to have to sell that team. You're telling me he's getting what's coming to him because he's getting like $4.5 billion?
I think he profited over $2 billion, right? Off the that's crazy. That is crazy, but that's his punishment.
But just saying, he's pretty much scum of the earth level, and he's not getting relieved of his duties. So we can be mad at Jim, but I feel like the word relieved of his duties is a little bit extreme.
So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I think Jim Irsay isn't going anywhere, to be honest. I think he's going to be here for a while. I do see him grooming, you know, his daughter to exposing her to more and more each year, you know, giving her more responsibility. So eventually she'll be ready for that. But I don't think necessarily yet that he should be relieved. I'm doing the air quotes right now. I do think he does need to take a step back and stop reacting so emotionally. But like I said, he's the owner of the team. So at the end of the day, there's only so much criticism so I can actually give a guy. He owns the team. He pretty much does what the hell he wants with his team that he paid his money for. I'm just a fan at the end of the day. So I spectate and, you know, I give my opinion when it's asked. And that's the only reason I'm actually even speaking on Irsay. What I will say is, though, I wish he stopped giving interviews. I wish he stopped talking to the media. I wish he stopped talking publicly.
I do wish anything that involved Irsay and a mic would just go away for just a while. But I would say I think Irsay, it's time, and Irsay is doing it, like you mentioned, giving some more responsibilities out. The next owner of the Indianapolis Colts is not going to be someone Irsay sells to. Irsay is going to keep it in the family, and it's going to go down. From the outsider looking in, his daughter Karen seems to be the most active in the everyday of the Colts. So if I had to guess, that is who would be the probably not sole owner. There would probably be percentile stuff going on, but she would probably be the highest percent owner in the team next, if you had to guess. So, and he slowly has given her more and more access, more and more responsibility. You see her a lot in the PR world, a lot in the media world, so, and a lot in the Kicking the Stigma campaign. She really pretty much takes the head of that even. So I think the day will come, and I think Irsay has other interests that he wants to do as well, which is why you kind of see him giving more and more out, which is why I have this faith, and it may be blind faith. I have this faith that this year is going to be an outlier, that we don't have to see this Irsay interjecting in decisions, because at the end of the day, I just think Irsay has so many other things that he's also interested in doing that he wants to have people he trusts in the building doing these things. I think this year led to him not having trust, and because of it, it just led to a very toxic situation that has unveiled itself, all because there wasn't trust in the building. So hopefully that's fixed, whether it's a new GM, new head coach, whatever, all the moves that have to be done. But I just think once that trust is built again, it'll go back to Ursay being more in the background and less mics, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Destin, I know it don't seem like it, but the Colts do play this Sunday. They play the Giants. Road game for the Colts, I believe 12 o'clock start. The Giants are playing for a playoff berth. If they beat the Colts, they're in. So this game means a lot more to them than it does to...
How many of these are we going to have? How many teams are going to get to clinch the playoffs against the Colts this year?
I believe the Giants is the beat of fourth, right? Or third.
I mean, the Chargers definitely just did it on Monday Night Football.
Someone else did it.
The Cowboys clinched,
the Cowboys did it, yeah.
The Cowboys clinched a playoff spot when they beat us. So that was 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
And did the Eagles clinch?
And then the Vikings clinched the division clinched against us when they came back on us.
Absolutely, yep.
So we're on a streak. This is in row.
Okay, maybe the Texans.
We got Cowboys, Vikings, Chargers.
And the Texans are clinched the number one pick when they play us.
They love playing us, man.
The Texans win a game, they fall to number two. If they win one of their last two.
If the Bears lose out.
Yeah. If they win one of their last two, I'm going to totally disregard. The Bears will lose out. But if they win one of their last two.
The Bears got Detroit and Minnesota.
They won't beat Minnesota. Unless Minnesota's playing for nothing. But I can't imagine that. Them only trailing the Eagles by one game, right? Oh, no. The Eagles can lock up home field throughout if they beat the Saints this week. And from what I've seen, Jalen Hurts practice, which is good for my Super Bowl fantasy odds.
But I'm playing against a guy who has hurt, so I hope he doesn't play. Rest him up, Eagles. Rest him up for the next week.
Destin.
One more.
Don't do this.
Just one more.
I need it. But, yeah, man, the Colts play the Giants. The Giants are coming off of a close loss to Minnesota. I think it was a 61-yard field goal by Minnesota as time expired that gave them that victory. Justin Jefferson went apeshit and proved that you can actually – don't have to be a quarterback to be an MVP candidate, in my opinion. Now, do I think he'll win it? No, I think he'll finish about fourth, fifth in the voting. But I do think he's a legit MVP candidate, which is crazy because he plays wide receiver. But the question, we have a question in regards to the Giants game. Our guy Matt Maringer came in right at the last second and got this question off before we recorded. He said, knowing what happened to Foles against the Chargers, who blitzes 29% of the time. Okay, Matt's giving up numbers, statistics. We like it. He said, now facing the Giants, who led the league in blitzing 40% of the time, how do we really think we are going to be evaluating the young offensive talent with probably a more under pressure Foles?
I would say that the situation is going to be that it doesn't necessarily change when there's a larger blitz number. I mean, the larger blitz percent, really what it affects is play calling more than it's going to affect the overall play. So that's going to be a lot of different. We'll probably see a lot more quick outs. We'll probably see a lot more attempts to get Foles to get rid of the ball earlier, which I'm sure has been what they've been talking to him about all week anyway. Mm-hmm. We got to remember, this was Foles' first in-game action of the year. He kind of found out, as we all found out, that he was going to be the starter. So there was a lot of things that were kind of rushed in that process to where I bet the offense looks better this week than it did last week even. I think the Giants have a lot of special young players that on the defensive side of the ball that are coming into their own right now. Thibodeau has been on a tear. So if he is going to be who's over there on Ryman, it'll be another good evaluation even of Ryman himself to watch that matchup and kind of see how Ryman adjusts, who had a good game against the Chargers, had a really notable missed rep against Khalil Mack, of all people, obviously. How dare he? But I would just say that it'll tell us a lot more about Parks Frazier than it's going to tell us about Nick Foles, that there's a higher blitz percent.
Yeah, Wink Martindale, man, he's one of those guys that just likes to dial it up, you know, from his days in Baltimore. he come with some of the most creative pressures and creative pressure packages and looks in the NFL. That's been his mantra for the last decade. So you can expect to see some crazy things being thrown at Foles. But when you're a veteran of Foles status, you've pretty much seen it all anyway. It's not like you're going to reinvent the wheel out there. So I expect Foles to look better, you know, after getting some reps with these guys he hasn't worked with since training camp, probably. But I think he'll be okay. I do think the Giants are going to get after him just because, like Destin said, the front seven, you know, Thibodeau and I believe it's Dexter Lawrence that's in the middle for those guys, and he's been playing phenomenal. Leonard Williams, you know, fight on as a former Trojan.
I had to mention it.
And my draft crush from 2 years ago, Azeez Ojulari. Is he playing?
He had a sack last week, right?
Oh, he did? Did he?
I'm pretty sure he had a sack last week.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that knows, Destin knows. That's when me and Destin actually met during that draft cycle right there. We knew each other before then, but we really got really cool.
If you guys don't think me and Rashad argue enough on the podcast, just wait for this offseason and draft coverage. That year, it was the Joe Tryon love, my Joe Tryon love versus his Azeez Ojulari love.
Yep, you're right.
And I don't know who I'd say is the winner because both look pretty productive at the next level. But
yeah, I like both of them. I think Azeez been more productive, but I think it's because he's had more opportunities. You know, Joe initially was playing behind Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, so he didn't get the reps and the opportunities that Azeez got. You know, Azeez essentially, when he got to the Giants, it was nobody. I could have just threw numbers out, you know, just counting stats like people do on Twitter all the time. Well, he doesn't have 15 total sacks yet, Destin. I could have just said that, you know, and that could have been the end all be all. But I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to be a fair guy. But I think this is an interesting matchup. I think the Colts defense actually matches up well with the Giants offense. I know the Giants pretty much like to funnel everything through Saquon Barkley and runs that Daniel Jones is plays he's making with his legs, man. I know majority of the people right now can't even name two of the Giants wide receivers, you know, that's on the roster that's actually playing. Not
fantasy football owners can name you Isaiah Hodgins.
He's probably been
fun for the most teams who have him in the fantasy playoffs.
And Richie James, you know. I'm sure people can call out Richie. But it's just not pretty, man. The pass catching options are not good. And what this staff has been able to do, Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, what they've been able to do with this offense is sheer amazing, because they don't have a lot of talent, but they've managed to get the most out of that unit. They find creative ways to use Saquon Barkley. Behind enemy lines piece coming. Should be out soon. I don't know which day it'll drop, but it's done. It's in the editing stages. It'll be out. I wrote about Saquon Barkley and the different ways that the Giants are using him to dictate what they want to do to the defense. And he's been special, man. He's came back. He looks very special. I won't say he's quite dynamic as he was his rookie season, but he's somewhere in that ballpark. And the Colts, luckily for the Colts, you know, the Colts have two great run stuffers up the middle and a bunch of linebackers that flow from side to side that like to hit. So I think they match up well there. I don't think their wide receivers will give the Colts too many problems. The only thing is the Colts offense is probably going to struggle against this Giants defense. If the Giants offense can get to about 17 points, that might be enough for them to win this game. And I guess that can take us into our score predictions while we're talking about it. So Destin, who wins this game and what will be the score?
I think the Giants win. At the end, there's very similar things to the NFL as when you're playing the game of football, not the professional level. Motivation has a lot to do with it. And this Giants team can clinch the playoffs with a win. The Colts are out of the playoffs, and we saw on Monday Night Football, multiple players just seem checked out on just how disappointing this season has been. So at the end of the day, I just think the Giants have more to play for, and I think their players are going to show up in ways we won't in New York on New Year's. I can just see it. New York magic in the Big Apple on New Year's Day. So I'm going to say the Giants win. I'm going to say they win 24-14.
Yeah, man. I'm going with the Giants as well. I'm going to go with, I think the game will be a little bit closer. I'm going to go with 24-21, actually. I think the Giants win it on a late field goal. From a talent perspective, I don't think the Giants are a more talented team than the Colts, but I do think they're a better coach team than the Colts by far. And they have something to play for, so they'll be motivated. And at home, too, so that's always good. New Year's, get to eat some home cooking as you bring in the new year. I think all of those things will be the reason why the Giants pull out a close one. This is the game I was scared of, and it scared me the most when I did my predictions for the last four games of the season. I almost gave this game to the Colts when I did it a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still terrified of this game, by the way. The Colts actually have the talent to win this game. I hope they don't go out and do it, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Colts did a Colts thing and went out and won this game. So I guess that's it, man. Destin, did you have anything else you want to talk to the people about?
I just want to say, and if you saw it on Twitter this last week, Zach Moss looked good last week. So if Zach Moss in your fantasy lineups, my advice to you for the Colts is if you're trying to start and you have to start a Colts running back, which if you are in the fantasy championship this weekend and you have to start a Colts running back, I'm praying for you. But
I was about to say, yeah,
if you are torn between the Deion Jackson, the Zach Moss is going to, I feel like, is going to get those carries again. And he looked good last week. And the Colts didn't lean on him when it felt like they could. So I hope Parks kind of learns from that, especially if this is going to be a game with heavy blitz numbers. Then I want to be able to get that handed off so we can kind of build on that. Because I think Zach Moss could be a legit backup running back next year for the Colts. He runs hard, man.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of people told me he was cooked. You know, he wasn't that. He wasn't too good when he came over here. But I think he's been fine, man. I think he'll be a good compliment to what Jonathan Taylor is doing. You know, so I wouldn't be opposed at all if you bring Zach Moss back. He's under contract. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see that move happen. I know Jordan Wilkins was picked up, but I don't think he'll be a factor based off what we saw last week. He probably barely get a touch or two. So Zach Moss is the way to go, man. If Derrick Henry was your starter, like me, and you're scrambling for a running back, I'm forced to start Aaron Jones and Miles Sanders. We'll see how that works out for me. But I'm nervous as hell. I do get Jalen Hurts back, so that'll help. Who's going to be your money player? Who's going to carry you to a Super Bowl, Destin, before we get up out of here?
I'm in two fantasy championships this week. I have a couple similar players. The main one that is the same player on both rosters is Justin Jefferson. So wow. I'm really hoping that record is in his head these last couple of weeks. And one of those championships I'm in is a two-weeker, where the championship is actually a two-week setup to where you combine your scores. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever done it, and it worries me. But it's I'm hoping Jay Jettas has that in his head.
I'm sure Jay Jettas, man, is going to carry you to where you need to be. That's Bayou Bengal, former Bayou Bengal. And we know, you know, New Orleans, the city of New Orleans makes stars, man. Ask Reggie Wayne, ask Peyton Manning, you know, Marshall Faulk. The list goes on, man. The list goes on. We're productive in the NFL. And the coach fans should love us. They should love to see in New Orleans, even though New Orleans beat us in the Super Bowl. So that's all I have to say about that, man. We will see you guys next week when we talk about the Colts' upcoming game with the Texans. Hopefully we're playing for a top five pick in the draft. And not playing for a 6 or 7 or 8 pick in the draft. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Go Cardinals this week.
Facts.